Welcome to the Wheel of Reads, a Wheel of Time podcast. Your hosts are Alan, Chris, and Ian. This podcast is safe for first-time readers with no spoilers. This week, we'll be covering chapters 6, 7, and 8 of A Crown of Swords, Old Fear and New Fear, Pitfalls and Tripwires, and The Figurehead. Enjoy!
Welcome back to Season 7, Episode 5 of The Wheel of Reads.
Our first one of the year.
In our first one of year 3.
Yeah, we haven't recorded in like a year. Man, it's been like a year since we recorded.
It's been since last year.
This last year, yeah.
Forever. Yeah, so we had a nice little Christmas, New Year's break. Now we're back at it. So fun times. And this is 3 years. This is when we started this 3 years ago, almost to the day. I think it's like next week or sometime during this week. I don't know the exact date, but it was January, like first week of January. Yeah.
Somebody knows.
So do you guys do like the whole New Year's resolution things? I mean, I don't, but some people do.
I'm not going to drink anymore.
I'm just not going to drink anymore.
I'm giving up on procrastination. I'm gonna start that one tomorrow.
Are you actually doing something?
I'm gonna start that resolution tomorrow, maybe the day after. I'll do it later.
I'll do it later.
Fun times. Mine is the continuum, just the always continuum. So I stopped making New Year's resolutions pretty much when we started doing this podcast.
After 2020,
at this point, there's nowhere to go but up. Once you commit to something like this, I mean, you're at rock bottom. It's one way ticket to.
It was like, I just want to be better tomorrow than I am today, and I'm just gonna leave it at that because I don't like the pressure. You know, I create enough on myself on a day to day basis.
Yeah,
it's one of my wife's friends on Facebook like made this like end of year post. It's like, guys, tell me something, brighten my day up that you did really well or you achieved in 2022. And I was like, I'm alive.
Exactly.
Yeah, I made it.
I will say this is my year of rest. Like, there's no wedding to plan. There's no big move. There's nothing. Like, I have nothing planned more than going to other people's weddings. And my nephew graduates in June. So okay. I do need to hop back on the weight loss game because, you know, after the wedding and with all the holidays, I completely let the back injury let myself go. Or this one time was a knee injury, but I let myself go again. And I'm like, you know what? This shit sucks. And it only gets worse. It never gets better.
Nope.
Yeah.
The more you jump off the train, the worse it gets.
Especially the older you get, it is so tough to get back into it.
That's true. I just had my 35th birthday, so it's like...
Yeah. You ain't old yet. You got a couple years to convince yourself you're young still.
Yeah, now so I walk up some stairs and my knee starts to hurt.
Look, I'm already doing that old guy thing that no matter what I do, there's a grunt involved. If I sit down, if I stand up, if I'm walking up the stairs, it don't even have to hurt. I just go...
You know? I do it too though. That's what scares me. Like, I have that grunt already.
It's like I'm getting ready for everything to hurt. it's a little pre-grunt.
It's an expectation.
Yeah. So we do have a new patron. So let's go and give a shout out to Silver Dragon. They're actually in chat tonight. So
I saw they posted they'd be listening live. They're all caught up. This is great.
Yeah.
Wow. You're all caught up. You listen to 3 years worth of us.
And then decided to become a patron. And
I know, what were you thinking?
This is great.
Well, we're going to do better in 2023. That's our New Year's resolution, to be better tomorrow than we are today.
Yeah.
But that's a testament, though, Chris. Between you and I won't give Alan any credit here, but between you and I, someone drops at least one or two good nuggets a night.
Oh, yeah.
There's always a couple good nuggets. So, I'd watch me.
Would you watch me?
I'd watch me hard.
I'd watch you all the time.
It rubs the lotion on its skin or else it gets the hose again.
I need to get my chapstick.
Yeah,
right. You know, we have almost enough to pay for your home through your OnlyFans page.
It's nothing but toes, baby.
There you go. I mean, you need extra cash here. That's what you can do. OnlyFans. Just whore yourself out.
Beard growth.
3 years, incredible. Hey, Dirty Nightly's here. Yay.
Yay, hey, welcome. 3 years.
Yeah. Okay. So because it's 3 years, we are gonna be giving away something tonight because, you know, hey, I like to give away things. So and you guys get to hear it first since you guys are listening live. We're gonna give away a hardcover copy of the Wheel of Time book of your choice. Just let me know which one. If you win, I'll send you a copy of a book.
Can we do a floaties mug also?
Yes, we can do a floaties mug also.
That's still my favorite thing out of our shop. There's a lot of good things, but that floaties, it's so much fun. I love it.
Yeah, it's fun. So how about you guys, like, first person to email the Will Reads, it's thewillreads@gmail.com, and write a funny New Year's resolution. Like, it can't be a serious one. If it's a serious one, you're disqualified. Like, and I'm going to read them live. I'll read them next week. What the entries are. So, and I'll pick the fun. It's not the first person that does it. We'll judge, and I'll announce it next week who wins. Give me some funny stuff.
So quality
content material. Yeah. No rating on that. Do whatever you want. That's a good
rating. Yeah, we'll bleep it out as we need to. You just let all your creative juices flow.
Yeah. So other things coming up in our schedule on Thursday, we are going to be doing with Chris Elantris. So that's the Cosmere book review. Yeah. On Saturday night, we have Wad of Fortune with North Harbor Podcast. So there are three ladies in that group that are coming on to play some Wad of Fortune. And then next week, we're just back to our regular schedule. We got more stuff coming too. I think we're going to say no to some other things. But that's what's going on right now this week. So keep checking back on the YouTube station because on Thursday night, like I said, we're going to be doing Cosmere stuff. And Saturday night, we'll be doing Wad of Fortune. And both those are going to be at 9 p.m. And speaking of Cosmere stuff, we have, or at least Ian and I have started reading Warbreaker. I think Chris is getting ready to start reading it.
I will be doing it soon.
Yeah. Yep. And we're going to be doing like 3 weeks ish or so, be doing a half book episode of Warbreaker. So working through Cosmere material, and then we're going to do it. That's going to be with all of us, not just with Chris. So fun times. And then we're going to do Stormlight Archive after that. So fun. Personal life. Let's see, there's a new year. We had Christmas. We were on the Feather Mountain podcast. That was a lot of fun. If you guys haven't checked that out, it is like our sister podcast. The Legends of Grendel and her dad, who's awesome, run that podcast together. But they have a little spot on our Discord that we allow them to use. So that's where their Discord is our Discord. We let them use a little space there. And it was a lot of fun being on the show. So go check out Feather and Mountain Podcast, wherever you can find podcasts, especially the episode where we're on. And I'm sure that with Will Takes was good too, because Alan Guest were after us.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they saved the best for last. So that's obvious.
I went to listen to ours. Just I was curious about sound quality, if she's like already way better than us, which she is. But I had to keep listening because it was hilarious. And I will give Alan some credit this time. He was contributing to the one-liners also. It was just nonstop cutting up the whole time, but good content at the same time. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun.
I loved it.
Yeah. It was good times. Yeah, so go check that podcast out. As far as personal life goes, like I said, getting through the holiday season for Christmas, a late Christmas gift, we're going to take my kids flying for the first time. And I have a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 10-month, or it'll be 11 months old. He'll be 11 months old when we fly. So it's going to be fun.
Like a small plane kind of tour around the area?
We're going to Florida.
Okay.
So.
Florida. Yeah, you'll be good. You got this.
Yeah, it'll be fine. It's an hour and a half flight from where we are. So
yeah,
you go up, but just with a bunch of kids, it's going to be interesting. Their first time flying. So gearing up for that.
Well, I pray that none of them has congestion or ear infections, because that's really the only thing that will really destroy. I can handle constipation.
It's the diarrhea that sucks. A little bit.
That's
that's, they're gonna blow up. No, that's trouble. Yeah, if they're stopped up, that's great on airplanes. It's when the diaper doesn't hold everything in, and then three seats over, they're like panicking. They have to do emergency landing. That's when there's a problem.
You just sit there and try and ignore it, pretend like you don't notice it.
What is no, you gotta be like, what is that smell? This plane smells horrible.
I don't know.
I've never done that on my flight back from India.
I don't know if you ever seen a baby explode, like when they don't know where it all comes from. I don't know if you've ever seen how much a baby can shit. Mm-hmm. It's
I've seen some crazy ones.
It is disturbing.
It's gnarly.
Yeah. I mean, there's times where like you're changing a diaper or something, clean them up, and you just have to call your partner or spouse over to be like, you've got to see this. This is insane. Do we go to the doctor? It's like, what's
everywhere?
Going on here? Get the hose.
So I guess this is the best form of birth control. This episode brought to you by Plan B. What's going on with you guys? I'm done.
Well, I'm still trying to be my optimistic, happy self. But I just went back to work today after not truly working for, I went on orders October of 21. I was just telling Alan and Chris, I don't really count that mobilization time as like work. That's kind of like, I mean, it's not that it was fun. It was hard work, but it's different than the regular 9-to-5 routine for sure. So just jump back into that old 9-to-5 thing today. And to add insult to injury, like everybody there where I work is super nice and they're cool people. And they were all being chipper and saying Happy New Year to everybody. And I even saw people hugging. Like, I wanted to get out of there so bad. It's like, there's all these things I should have been excited about, but I'm just looking at it going, this is my life now. These are my people. I mean, it's going to take me 3 months to remember their names, but these are my people. I just have to exist with them here. And then people give me money. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. So, yeah. But I'm excited about it. And
you sound thrilled.
The silver lining is, yes, now I have time to do my audiobooks. And yes, I'm already on chapter 9 of what is that book we're doing?
Warbreaker.
And it's pretty good. So, yep. Happiness. 9-to-5. Work family. Making money to survive. Hey.
Yeah. That's about all we can do.
Chris, anything new with you?
Well, Christmas is phenomenal.
You had a birthday too. Happy birthday.
Thank you. So like it's this holiday season's been weird. And I may have said this last holiday season, but not being with the family is different. And don't get me wrong, I was with Chanel's family and I love them and they love me. So that was nice, but not being with my nephews. And this year, I didn't even make the trip to Virginia because working the new job, I don't have the time. And so not getting to see everybody was really difficult. And then, getting closer to my birthday, it's kind of one of those times of the year for me that's kind of a love-hate thing because, getting older, whatever. I don't care about that. I'm getting older. But, not knowing who my father is and not having that bond and not having a mother who will take accountability for her actions. And, it's a continuum thing of build up. It makes for a horrible birthday for me. But this year was actually quite phenomenal. Chanel went out of her way. I shouldn't say it that way because she doesn't feel that way at all. Chanel does what any good wife would do in her opinion and threw me a phenomenal birthday party and invited, friends and family that can make it to come out. And we had, I was celebrated in a very nice way. I didn't have to plan it at all, which last time I really tried to do something for my birthday was for my 30th birthday. And that was with my ex. And, I begged her and my mom just to get together and plan something, and that didn't go well at all. So I ended up planning it myself and putting it an hour and a half away from both of them and told them to show up, go right ahead, but you don't have to. And that was how that birthday went. And I stopped celebrating my birthday at that point, but Chanel really rocked it for me. And then we had New Year's, and our New Year's was spent at somebody's wedding, so that was really cool. So it turned out to be
that's a fun
year.
Yeah, I got kicked out of the bar on my 30th birthday. So it was lame. There's a recurrent theme with that. I was trying to make my party more fun because we rented out like a VIP lounge at a bar, like a club, like a big bar. And, and the people that came, were fun, you know, but it wasn't enough. So I just started inviting everyone to the VIP lounge. Apparently the bar doesn't like that. I was like, but we're renting it out, right? And they're like, yeah, but there's limits. And I was like, well, screw that. It's my birthday. Like everyone's, these are all my guests.
I'm friends with everybody.
Everyone's my guest. Let's throw a big party. And like, apparently that's, and then I got mouthy apparently or something. I don't know. I was very drunk. There was tequila involved.
Yeah.
These things happen.
These things happen.
See, when I get tequila in me, I learn how to dance.
Oh yeah. Well, I think I can dance. I don't actually learn how to dance. When like I watch the videos the next day, I'm like, that's horrible.
My 21st birthday, the cops came within like 5 minutes of throwing the party.
Oh,
wow. Remember that? It was at William Mary, and they gave me a bullhorn, a megaphone, and I started just like screaming at people, like just like party, like raging like crazy. And apparently someone called the noise complaint or whatever, and the cops showed up. And
it's a little James City County for you.
Yeah, I got really ugly really fast.
You could tell our friends from Newport News because
they all ran.
Everybody else stayed in the house, and they're like, it's okay. My dad's a lawyer. Our Newport News friends were out the back door jumping fences.
Did anybody see Jimmy? Like, yeah, Jimmy ran as soon as he saw lights. Like, right. He's like, but you did anything wrong. He's number 21. He's like, it doesn't matter.
He's like three houses down. He got bit by a chihuahua, but like then he ran down the ditch, doubled back for his car. Like as the cops are pouring out the alcohol, saying, "I'm disappointed in you kids." You see Jimmy peeling out and zipping past. Like, oh, shit. Oh no, he made it.
Good times. Well, all right, let's get these chapters. Chapter 6, Old Fear and New Fear. Lots of fear.
Do we smell the fear?
I like fear.
How do we sense this fear? What sense are we using to establish the fear?
I think this is like a little bit of a little bit of rose with a slight bit of a fresh cut garden hose. And I get some little bit of smashed violet, you know, in that little palette. Yeah.
And some aging honeysuckle that's almost too sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Hints. Very hints.
Gotcha.
Subtle.
Okay.
Subtle.
So it's not on your back fence. It's two neighbors down. That's where it's wafting from.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've established that, old fear and new fear.
Yep. So we're in parents' point of view. And parents,
I'd like to note for 2023, we started on time.
We did.
What?
This will be the last time.
That'll never happen again.
We should have saved it for April Fools.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Rand leaves before Perrin and Fael can follow, and Perrin gets to talk to Dobrin and Fael and everyone else, and it's an interesting conversation. So let's jump right in.
Aren't they near the passed out lady as they're having this conversation?
Yes, COVID.
So potentially. Let's just say everybody's assuming she's still passed out, but this is a long time to be out for a fainting spell. So it's,
you think so?
I'm a little sus that maybe she eavesdrops a little bit here. Yeah. But anyways,
okay.
All I know is Fael has a new place in my heart after this chapter. I don't know if it's a good place or a bad place. I haven't determined that yet, you know, but she's like, hey, Dobrin. You could pitch her in a bag, throw her in a river, make sure there's a lot of rocks in it.
That'd be okay.
That would be okay.
Yeah.
Or maybe she fell and hit her head when she passed out. That would be fine too. Or maybe she has a drink too many and falls off the side of a cliff that she conveniently finds herself at.
Mm-hmm. What an interesting juxtaposition, is that how you say it?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, like her versus Perrin. Perrin's his own like walking juxtaposition, if you will. Because clearly when Bush
is comes that the word of the day?
I don't know. Position. No, the word of the day is undulate. Because Sanderson uses a lot too, apparently.
Undulate.
No, but like, you know, Perrin, while he's clearly capable of killing, is not a fan of it at all. And at least if it's the heat of the battle and he could pretend that all the women are men when he's doing it, he's okay with it. Mm-hmm. But like just outright murder, he's not down with that, you know?
Sure.
Or at least he's battling with it. But then the love of his life is like, hey, there's a time and place for it. I could justify how this would do more good than harm, you know?
Mm-hmm. Agreeably. And she also still has that faint fear that Rand is being controlled.
Sure. Yep.
And so she's trying to get rid of Faile is very strategic. She's very intelligent. She is trying to get rid of anything that could get in the way of accomplishing her goal, which is to remove her husband from as much mess as possible.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's true. But they certainly have different ways of going about that because he his main focus is protecting her as well. So you would think if both of them, if their number one priority is just keeping each other safe, that it, you know, with their skill set, that should be easy, right? But
yeah, I mean, they communicate so well and they talk to each other about these things so well that they definitely should be on the same page, right?
When I said skill set, I wasn't including communication skills. Like all their other skills that help them like survive and beat people
like
up.
Like the one where he can smell what she thinks and still gets it wrong.
He can smell what she's giving off, but you know, the brain is a little bit stronger than the emotions.
I wonder what happens with my farts in his presence. Like, sorry.
Sure he knows what they ate. It's, you know.
Oh, like that baby blowout would be
They had mutton today. It's nothing but
well,
mutton.
Well, the juxtaposition of that fart. Anyways, so they get alone finally after they kind of rule out killing Colbert. They say like, nope, not gonna happen. No brain cell against his oaths. Perrin's like, nope, Rand would be pissed. We're not doing it. And then everyone else leaves, and Faile and Perrin get alone. And this is where the scene gets
the jealousy
spicy.
Comes back.
Yeah, it's the oh shit.
Oh shit!
It's about to go down. I really. You know, it's one of these situations where I'm like, get off of it. Yes, Perrin definitely asked about Barrelaine again, his fault. But you know what? He's got a job to do. And mm-hmm. It came out in a conversation that's benefiting everybody. So deal with it. I need Faile mm-hmm. for all of her intelligence and all of her capability. I need her to stop being so insecure.
Yes.
He has not given her a single reason that I know of to doubt her.
Yeah, and a lot of it's like the he said, she said. Like, I mean, so obviously there are rumors about Perrin like going away with Barrelaine. That's where Perrin had been, was hiding away and having a mistress. And rather than Faile rising above it, she just like, yeah, like you said.
Well, she did rise above it when she was in the situation and she fought against it.
Sure.
But maybe. What Faile needs is a confidant, a friend that she could discuss these things with.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to be a girlfriend, it could be a guy friend, but who does she have to vent these?
I mean, if she would get over herself, she and men could have these conversations.
And it's really tough, like, as an older reader reading this, like, you have to realize they're, like, high school age. So in high school, like, this was, like, kind of how high schools and cliques, and I mean, at least in my high school.
I avoided that part of life. I didn't.
Yeah, but it happened. Whereas, like, it's really rare and like almost 40 to meet like a 40-year-old male or female. I mean, I know they're out there that act like this still, but like it's rare. You've been through too much shit to care anymore.
And I don't involve myself in that. When I see it happening, I go, ew, what did I step in? And then I walk away.
I don't care anymore. I just don't care.
Right.
I don't have time for that.
Yeah.
I
got
so.
The awesome 9 to 5 I gotta go to tomorrow. Okay. I don't have time for fun.
You're just dead in your eyes. You don't care about anything anymore. Just
very true.
Anyway, so Faile's jealous, fearing that Perrin might be taking an interest in Barrelaine, as we discussed. And then she makes a big scene about it. Yeah, and Perrin snaps.
Well, I think
that was my favorite part of the whole. I go ahead. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Well, I was gonna say, I think maybe the best thing, in to her credit, So where she talks about, oh, you know, you give Berlin credit for like everything she did to help sniff this out, but what about like what I did? And she did, she went about it her way, and you know, she never gave up on Perrin, and she never truly gave up on Rand, and she was putting herself in a position to find out information and, you know, try and help contribute to fixing the situation. And really, no, nobody
to do with Rand.
Nobody gave any weight or credit to what she did. It was, you know, oh, Berlin. Mm-hmm. Let's find Berlin and Berlin's people. And so I get that. I mean, at least I see where she's coming from.
Sure.
Yeah. I hear you too. But at the same time, she wasn't there for Rand. She was there for herself, and she was there for Perrin, and even she got Perrin back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe a little bit more for herself. Cause let's be honest. If her mission was to help resolve the situation with this, I don't know if we're calling her usurper or whoever just claims the throne, whatever, then mission accomplished, right? And she should be happy with it, but she's not happy because she didn't get the credit, at least from Perrin, that she thought she deserved.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there was a part of her that did it because she wanted to prove to herself, prove to Perrin, prove to whomever that, you know, she can do awesome shit too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And she needed that recognition.
Mm-hmm. Very much agreed.
I get it. But that's very human of her.
Yeah.
Don't we all sometimes?
So is losing your effing temper. There are just those moments where you finally snap. And I hate that Perrin had to snap here.
Yeah.
He snapped in other places, and justifiably so. He has killed many a man because he needed to. Here, he just like, he does the type of snapping that I think in my mind would be like sexy, though. Like,
I think Fael thinks that too.
It's still a little, it's fierce, but it's still under control. It's
edgy.
It's edgy. It gets people going.
And he's like, argh! And she's like, ooh, hey, big daddy. All of a sudden, all that all that jealousy dissipates.
Giggity.
And all you can smell is giggity.
That's dangerous, though, because in the future, does she push his buttons just so she can get that version of Perrin again?
There you go. That's kind of like, risky. I have a friend who's like, seeing the situation where, you know, the conversation is just kind of dry and, you know, things aren't really going in a good direction. And, you know, there's some back and forth. And it's like, you know, I bet you the makeup sex would be great, though. Who wants that? Like, that's not what it's about. Like, if that's all it's about, then we could just skip it all. Like, I'll smack you, you smack me. We get excited and go at it and then go our separate ways. That's how I think about it, but.
Yes, we are. This is an edging part. We're going to talk about edging.
Yeah. So this is now rated M for not mature at all.
For immature. I for immature. So Fael actually gets her mood. Her scent goes from jealousy to affection, and things actually start to get a little hot.
This is the first time, though, that he outright tells her, you are the one for me and you are it.
You're the one I love. You up, you out of the one for me. Oh, yes, indeed.
I got chills. Ooh. They're multiplying.
Oh, my.
And I'm losing control. I bet y'all missed that. I'm kidding. Anyway.
It's electrifying.
Oh, wait, it started to be electrifying, then all of a sudden Ram popped in the door.
Barges in, pulls an Eid in college, and just comes with fireworks, and just like,
And of course, he really ruins it, because the first person he brings up, Berlin. All that hard work, all that aggression, all that buildup, Berlin. Yep.
And parents over there, not cool, Rand, not cool.
I feel like at that point, Perrin wanted to just like rip his throat out.
Yeah.
Hey, Farstrider, we can definitely sing that together. Jordan Con 2023. I'm all for that.
We can do that. I've done it before in karaoke.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I've done it. A lot of fun. Definitely. So, yeah. So Rand barges in unexpectedly. Talking about Berlin. And Paraness, is there anything else you want to talk about besides this? Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Really yeah, obvious on the
Perrin
nose.
Was like... just about to get out of the hole that he and Fael dug together. They both dug it. He was about to climb out, and then Rand comes in and just goes, Barrelane! He's like, damn, that's the one word. The one word that could have ruined all of this.
Anything else? But that's life.
I just picture, like, you know, Fael saying, if you save Barrelane one more time, someone's getting pistol whipped.
Hey, Rand! Who's that girl you're trying to find, Rand? You mean Barrelane? Got a pistol whip him. Oh, that was quite funny.
Super Troopers.
Hey, how smooth of Rand, though. Like, Perrin drops a pretty obvious hint. Rand very quickly picks it up and it's like, oh, okay, recover. You know?
Yeah, so about Illyan. About Illyan.
Yeah, let's change the subject. I guess you don't want to do that, huh?
You ready to go out? Go do that? And Perrin's like, no, I'm not a general. I'm not doing it. Like, I told you a million times, no. And Perrin says, besides, you don't want to send me away. Didn't Minho are viewing that, like, if I'm not there, like, that'd be a disaster for you. I have to be close to you. Don't send me away.
Yeah, but we don't know when that he has to be there is going to be. It could be 5 years from now. We don't know.
Could be. Yeah.
Nobody knows.
You never know. He thinks one of them might have been Dumont's Wells, which probably was. Yep, but Rand seems unconcerned about the risk at all. You know, Perrin changes the subject to another one of his concerns, which is the Aes Sedai. Here's where we are.
I thought, are we not back to love and Aes Sedai? I thought we rounded that corner. We're like, everybody's.
Rand hates Aes Sedai.
Well, that's great. That's great.
So I do like, again, it's that same conversation or that moment where it's like, you know, don't harm any Aes Sedai or else we're going to have our odds. And, you know, I think we want Perrin to be at odds for whatever reason with Rand, just because that tension's important. But at the same time, it's not like, they don't need that in their life. They have enough shit going on with everybody else trying to kill them. Like, why can't we be friends? Just, you know, let it go.
Yeah.
Leave that stuff back in 2022. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Rand probably, like, he just abruptly is like, look, I promise you, I'm not going to harm any Aes Sedai who don't deserve it. I think that's the best you can hope for.
Yeah.
We're still setting the stage for what I've said before. Like, I think a rift may be coming here, because Perrin just keeps drawing lines in the sand of, I won't cross this. I won't let you cross this. I won't cross this. I won't let you cross this. And Rand keeps saying, well, I'm going to have to do what I have to do, sort of thing. And eventually there's this gray area between them right now. And eventually where those lines overlap or somebody oversteps a boundary, we're going to have a significant tiff.
Yeah. So you're still full on board that they're going to have a massive breakup and be against each other.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to last the whole series, but
okay.
I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you. Well, meh.
Meh. Okay. Yeah.
The end of the chapter.
Yeah, it's pretty much the end of the chapter. Yeah. Right. The last thing is that, you know, Rand says that about the Aes Sedai and then says he has something else prepared to do, but rest for a few days and we'll talk about it later. And
Perrin's like, I'm going to need a few days after my few days of rest.
Yeah. And then turns back to Fael after he's alone again to take off.
That's what I mean.
Where they left off.
That's why he's going to need a few days after his few days. Fael has a job to do. Her mother set her to a task.
Anything we missed from this chapter? It's a short chapter. It's not a long chapter. It's just a short one. All right. So let's move on to chapter 7.
I want to
fall in tripwires.
Your toes. I want to move in the bed down to dust and flow. But I want to. You make so good, I want to leave. I imagine that's what happens.
Some old Luda starts playing in the background.
Exactly. Pitfalls in the trip of the wires.
In the trip of the wires. And we're in Rand's point of view, or Luce Theron's. It's really hard to tell in this chapter.
At this point, they're just one and the same. Like, might as well just call him. What do we call him then?
Luce?
Rand Theron.
Rand Theron. I like that. Yeah.
Lose a Thor. Rand Theron.
Lose out Thor.
Lose a Thor. So yeah, Rand is thoughts in his head. He decides he's going to make 3 visits in one night. One is a secret that no one needs to know.
Why are we talking about it then?
Yeah. First rule of Rand's visits.
Well, I don't know about the first rule because I showed up late, but let me tell you how awesome these visits were.
Luce Theron starts to rant about killing Oshman, like always, because the Oshman show up and Luce is like, kill them all. Just kill them all. Before it's too late, just kill them all. And Rand's like, Luce, shut up.
I want to know what the ticking time bomb is. Like, is it what Ian's been saying all of 2022? Like, that... what's his name is really Taim is really a dark friend, or are they all really going to start just going mad at random and we have a bigger problem on our hands? Like, or is Luz just making something out of nothing?
Well, clearly Luz experienced something in his lifetime that would make him feel like this is a problem.
He was there when the madness of all the men started, and men started destroying the world. The breaking of the world
caused the madness of all the men.
Yeah, but he saw the breaking of the world, like where literally the world started to break because of all the men going mad.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. And then Rand actually asks Luz, "Is like, are we really a different person? Are we the same person?" And Luz is like, "Wait, you're real."
that moment.
But he was silent for a bit, like losing answer for a second, and then he finally could hear the voice say, like, wait, you're really real? Like, I remember but this guy in a box or something.
Like, lose in like another dimension, and he's communicating with another version of himself instead of the other way around.
Yeah.
How is this all working?
What if that's part of the way to overcome the madness? Maybe the madness was not recognizing that the voice you're hearing in your head is truly a real person that exists, just not how we normally exist. But like, maybe you can overcome that by having that conversation. And if on both sides, you can avoid battling each other and learn to work together, you can work through it. I mean, so one option is you got to find a way to silence it. Or the other option is find a way to work with it.
But then you have the taint.
Taint. It always gets in the way.
The taint.
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody showered recently, you don't have to fear the taint.
No, you don't. As long as the taint's clean. Yeah. You have to clean the taint.
That's right.
Wrong. You have to clean the taint first.
Right. It is dirty. Pretty dirty.
It's a dirty taint right now.
It's every time we've heard of Rand touching the taint so far, it's been very dirty.
Mm-hmm. It's very dirty. Yeah. Filth. That's how it describes it. It's filth. A layer of filth. Like, I mean, you just need there's schmegma.
it's interesting though, in the conversations or the happenings, Rand is realizing, like you were saying, Ian, Luz is really the only person he has to depend on.
Very soon he's gonna be the only person he could relate to.
That may be true too.
Yeah. That might be why maybe they bond really quickly once they start communicating better.
There's that word again.
Oh lordy, come on. It'd be funny if the only good communication happens is between Rand and the voice in his head in this whole series.
Well, the fact that he can't even get that together, I mean, at least those of us that do speak to ourselves can at least have good conversation.
Oh no, the voices in my head.
Not all of them.
The voices in my head they're all my voices, but they come from different perspectives and they champion different principles that I think I should uphold in my life. And they argue and fight and beat the fucking piss out of each other. Sometimes I sit back and just like listen to that shit in my head and go, that's when I freeze. When I don't know what to do. It's like they both make really good points and he's got a strong left hook. I'm gonna wait and see which thought is left standing at the end of this and just go with it.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
That works.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's working. I got a job tomorrow to go to.
Apparently.
From 9 to 5 with happy people. They offered me homemade cookies, like 3 different people. Like, eat these cookies. I baked them myself. I'm like, oh, fuck.
Last time we ate home baked cookies, it wasn't good for you, buddy.
They didn't label them, and I didn't ask. That was my fault. Yeah.
Anyway,
I have chicken wings like that, by the way.
But really, that's really? The thing.
Yeah. Well, I guess. Oh, around here,
it can be with everything.
Yeah. Is the thing. But I was at a party, not last Halloween, but the Halloween before.
Just like put oil on it. I guess
they put it into the chicken with a needle, like infused. It's like best. So like they're going around with all these infused items, and I'm turning them all down. Like I don't want anything infused. No, thank you. No, thank you. Then this one girl comes around. She's like, "You want chicken?" I'm like, "Oh, chicken." And then somebody's like, "Is it infused?" She's like, "No." I was like, "Oh yeah, give me some of that." They were infused.
But what do you, all right, so what do you do? Like, do you eat one, and then when it kicks in, you just start eating more? Like,
I didn't take just one.
There you go. Yeah.
And after that, it's like.
That's true. You
know, the brownies they brought around earlier.
I mean, if you have a tray of Chick-fil-A nuggets, do you just eat one nugget? No.
Eat half a tray at least.
Exactly. And like, again, at that point, then the brownies start to look good, and the cookies start to look good, and then it's like. I'm not going down that rabbit hole, but I'm hungry now. And it's like, I couldn't figure it out. And then we're leaving. And one of my friends is like, yeah, I'm so glad that I didn't eat the chicken wings either. I'm like, what do you mean? So yeah, the chicken wings are, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense.
It was at that moment he knew he had fucked up.
Pretty much.
I don't know how I got home. If I just opened the gateway and got there.
It'd be like that sometimes.
Jordan Con last go around.
That's how I feel like
I was doing there.
That's how I feel like when I get off of work from my 9-to-5 job and I get in my car and then I'm home and I don't know what happened in that hour in between. I just zone out from my 9-to-5.
I do that a lot. It's kind of scary.
And I gateway home. Yeah. I'm so happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So after all this, Rand runs into Sulin, who urges him to get on with it because it's getting late. And Rand's like, all right, fine. Opens the gateway. And they run off to Caelan. Of course, as soon as they start to do the whole gateway thing, Luce Theron comes back saying, kill them all again.
Hasn't he learned his lesson, though? Just popping gateways and leaving without really communicating or what he's doing or making sure he has a force with him. Like, I know he had a few people, but at this point, you got to stop doing that, man.
I want to know what the first couple of weeks of Taim's training consist of, because Rand picked people that had less experience and weren't around Taim that long, but I'm already picking up on certain things that they all seem to do. Like for one, when they go through this gateway, they are on full red alert. Like Rand recognizes that there's, you know, the males channeling and recognizing, you know, they're fairly powerful for, you know, what they are, what stage they're at and everything, but they have a strategy when they're going through, and you would think that inexperienced guys might, I don't know, let their guard down some or whatever. I don't know, but
it's like old school boot camp, like not like today boot camp, but like old school boot camp. You know, it's a few weeks and you're conditioned and trained.
They call it wall to wall training, and it usually happens in a stairwell. And you accidentally trip and fall.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As all this is happening, of course, Luz is trying to seize Sidene from him. And Rand just screams at him about killing Illyana and his loved ones and shuts him up.
Is this where he talks about how he has this ability to make him itty bitty bitty?
It sounds like
learn that one in the trunk. I can just I picture the bee from Aladdin. Yeah. Just be yourself.
And as soon as they get to Andor, also Luce Theron expresses relief that Alana's behind
Andor.
And Rand, Andor. Huh. Caelan's the capital of Andor.
Like Disney's Andor?
Yes. The name of the country that Caelan is capital of is Andor.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. are you just figuring that out?
Yeah, I just made that connection.
Yeah, two different universes. Are they?
Stay tuned.
Pretty much. Yeah, and Rand lets himself and Fedwin be tied and act like prisoners. So this is their big plan, is rather than just going to march in the palace, they act like they're prisoners being marched in. Which, what do you think about this whole entire, like, why not? I mean, Rand controls Camelin. I mean, I guess they're trying to be inconspicuous, sort of, kind of.
But they don't know exactly what they're going to run into. And Rand, just like Rand knew when they were going back to Carrion, that, all right, shit's going to be fucked up when I get back. He knows when he comes here, shit might be fucked up when he comes back. So it's a nice little ploy. And is it kind of taking a play from the Aes Sedai playbook? Where the Aes Sedai show up in Carrion and they have these servants with them? Mm-hmm. Which, oh, by the way, they're not servants. You know? Mm-hmm. Rand's got some prisoners, which, psych, not prisoners. Yeah. You know? Yeah. A little sneaky, sneaky.
But, I mean, they're trying to keep it secret that they went to visit Daffin Bashir and Bail. Bail.
Sure.
Bail.
Bail. Yeah. And this is when we get to that scene. So anything about all that before we get to the scene where...
I mean, I think it does make sense, though, to keep him hooded. I mean, he doesn't want people to know that he's traveling yet again, that he's bouncing back and forth, that he's vulnerable yet again. So, you know, it's a good sound idea. I think at this point, I'd be over that, and I'd be coming in blazing, like, just, I'm here, and I want everybody to know it. But I'm a different type of person. He's trying to be strategic. And for me at this point, I've been trapped in a box and almost, you know, removed from my power. So
that's true. It's hard not to bounce back really hard after what he just went through.
So you got to give him his credit and you got to give him his props for, you know, going along with this idea, coming up with it essentially and playing, you know, it's safe.
Yeah.
See, if it were me, I'd gone and got Kalendar.
That's what I keep thinking, because he's looking for his little Buddha doll. I'm like, you don't need your fucking Buddha doll. You got a 20-foot sword of fire that you just dust people up with. It's just...
That's where I would be right now. Losing power. I'm like, you know what? I made a mistake. I need all the power I can get. So let's go get him.
Yeah.
Yep. It's that juxtaposition where... Where he wants the power, you know, because he's looking for his little Buddha toy, but he also fears the power.
Because he won't take the bigger
power. Because that's why he left Kalendor, because he's like, I don't know what I'll do with that. I ain't ready for that shit.
Yeah.
That's too much.
He's advanced so much further along from where he is, you'd think he would go back and just snatch it. That's what I would do.
Do you think he recognizes a few times that Luce Theron tries to take control of the power?
Mm-hmm.
But do you think it's clicked in his head that he has to, what am I trying to say? Do you think he really recognizes the depth of that? Like, does he recognize that threat? It's kind of like right now it's a little annoyance. Like, no, don't touch the source. Stop that. But like, has it clicked yet where it's like, holy shit, if this guy starts channeling and I can't stop it, then what? Like, I don't know that he's had that full, oh shit, realization.
I think he's had it, and that's how he's figured out ways to block him off. But once he does get free, because I had that faith that he's gonna get out, I think they're gonna become good partners, but who knows? We'll have that answer.
Okay. All right.
And Matt's gonna get sober and become a youth pastor and
yeah.
I mean, he's working on it, that's why he brought the little kid with him.
Sure. So they get to Davram and Bail. And Malayne's there and Dorinda. And Deera, Bashir's wife, Davram's wife. So yeah, I love Deera. She's great. And they immediately start asking a million questions to Rand. Like this start, you know.
And Rand's like, there are too many listening people in the room. And the guys are like, that's how you know he's not married yet. To be young again. Can't you hear it? All the mocking tones. Boy, when you get to be our age, ain't nothing the wife doesn't already know. It's just the safest thing for you.
Yep. But he's trying to not mention everything going on. The wives might hear too much and whatever.
Yeah. At this point, you see a nice booty and you point it out to her. But do you see that ass? That is a nice ass. Like, that's a, but that one right there is flat. Like, and you got a nice ass. That's how you smooth it over. It's a good thing Chanel does not listen to my podcast.
I'm curious for that.
I'm waiting for the door to open up in the background.
Yes. Or is that point of view chapter from Chanel? He always thinks it works when he compliments my booty, but I know I'm still mad at him.
It's more than just the compliment. Yeah, right. Yeah, <I know>.
There are other techniques.
Yeah.
One day she's gonna catch me talking about it like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, Dira immediately starts to ask what he intends to do about the Aes Sedai. Yeah, because the Tarvans put themselves against him, obviously.
Yeah.
And Rand says, you know, hey, we're not gonna ignore the kidnapping or anything like that, but we're not gonna also move against them right now.
He's gonna be your fish to fry, like the Aes Sedai are small fries. Compared to Forsaken. The entire Forsaken. Yeah, like, and I mean, what they don't realize or know is that half the Aes Sedai are essentially on his side. I mean, he does have Egwene in charge of them.
Right, but he still has to massage that relationship, and he hasn't really had the opportunity. So he doesn't want to do anything that's going to take away that opportunity, for sure. You know?
You know, if I would have played this differently, I'd have gone and snatched up Elaine personally myself.
Yeah.
Not
put her back on her throne.
Yep.
I would have taken Nynaeve to just brought her back in general and tried to help her overcome her block because.
But what about what they want? Families,
it's not about what they want.
It's not even about what Rand wants. Rand ain't doing any of this because he wants to. It's about
what the world needs. We need this of them.
Hey, remember why they left Edmondsfield in the first place, and it was to protect their families and to protect their people. So they all got to keep doing what they need to keep doing.
Instead, they're looking for a bowl. Like, there are bowls all over the world.
Bunch of fucking potheads. Just get you some get you some aluminum foil and a broom handle.
Maybe an apple. Pipe,
you know, get an apple.
Put some apple.
Or an empty beer can. You know, don't forget to cut a little carb hole out so you don't burn your lungs. Fire's hot.
Hey, boy, what's that? Is that a bong? No, it's a potato gun.
Yeah. And then there's that. Bullshit. Let me see you fire it. Bam. Holy shit. Why would you waste a perfectly good tater by shooting it out there? Give me that bag of taters. I'm taking it home with me. Wait, no, no. Hey, wait, here's one more. Do it again. Hey, holy shit.
You're mixing up two stories. Like when the cops showed up, and they're like, what are you guys doing? We're shooting potatoes. You're doing what now? Like, we're shooting potatoes. Perfectly good produce. Show me. Go ahead and do it.
The one cop was like, the one cop's inspecting the bag and going, showing his partner, going, no, there ain't nothing wrong with these potatoes.
These are good potatoes.
And they're just shooting. They're good potatoes. Can't use rotten potatoes? Well, that'd be disgusting. You're nasty.
Yeah, we fired one off. They're like, okay, that's pretty cool. Stop doing it. We're done. All right. So Rand looks at some maps. He thinks about Elaine and Matt and the band and Ilion, and he's wondering where they all are, hoping that Elaine's probably pretty close at this point.
Nah. She should almost be here.
Yeah.
Like any day now, guys.
Any day.
And then he hears up with one of the Forsaken before he meets up with her.
And then he hears about Dailan. And his immediate gut reaction is like same thing as Colivere. Like, oh, she's trying to take the throne. Like, wait, no. She's actually on your side. Like, hold on. Like, yeah.
Well, she's saying the right things to make it seem like she's on your side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's named herself regent.
Yeah.
Not queen.
Sometimes alphas that don't want to be criticized for being alphas will allow their betas to prop them up, and they go, oh, shucks.
Are we having an alpha male conversation on this podcast? Really?
No. Number one, number two. With...
Okay, Andrew Tate. Ian's turning red there.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, Dylan. But yeah, so I guess she hung the other two.
Yeah, she's a beast.
Nayan and Elena or whatever. Elena. Yeah. Yeah, hung them both for treason because they declared herself queen.
She was able to do what Rand wasn't able to do. I just want to point that out.
But also, yeah. She's eliminating competition.
Yeah.
You're right, but...
I mean, from this perspective we're getting, it shines her in a good light as far as trying to help what Rand's doing out, and or at least trying to secure the throne for Elaine. But again, this is just one perspective. We don't know what her true motives are.
Yeah. Yep. And then we go to Rand. I guess the final part is Rand telling Fedwin to carry messages to Wherryman and Simadred. That the attack on Elaine will begin soon. And that's how we end this chapter for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a couple chapters of people talking, going, this is what I think. This is what I think. This is what I think. And then Rand goes, okay. And then the chapters are over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
These are bridge chapters.
They are. It's the beginning of the book.
People got to get in their factions and you got to figure out who's going to align with who. And
I mean, we're halfway through the series.
Mm-hmm. We are.
Halfway there.
Yeah. Whoa. I will give you a little bit of spoiler. The next few books are very politicking heavy, which is a different feel, but I like it. It's its own thing. Mm-hmm. If you like that aspect of things.
Not as much stabby stabby killy killy.
There's still a lot of that.
Okay.
Yeah, there's still a lot of that.
A little amount.
Yeah.
Do we talk about Avatar 2, by the way? Okay.
You and Chanel did. Oh, I finally went to see it. Yeah, and it is worth seeing in theaters. I didn't do 3D because I generally can't handle that.
I haven't seen it yet because I got kids.
Yeah. I thought it was great. I will say the storyline as a whole is fantastic. The cinematography, the CGI, fantastic.
Storyline was still redundant in and of itself. Like in circular.
Could have been better written, and some of the lines could have more thought could have been gone into the lines and how they're.
I see you.
Yeah, yeah. There were areas that could have been better, but I still think it's worth seeing in theaters. Like it's
that whole moment. I got so confused. I'm sorry. I'm just tangent, but like the I see you. I was like, God, that just seems so familiar. Like I feel that it speaks to me. And I thought I was like, I see you, like. They took that right out of Black. See, look, when you say it that way, everybody took that right out of culture.
They also go like, "We're good, we're good, we're good,
it was good, it was good." I see you, boy. Go on, like that right there. I was like, "Oh, things click."
You know, the problem is I've been out of the
culture.
Going to high school in downtown Denver News, I was a lot more used to that kind of stuff. And then every once in a while, like, I'll stop at a gas station in the ghetto and like someone will come up and like use some vernacular towards me. And I get so like caught off base because I have no idea how to respond. Like an old Black man with a cane came up to me and he's like, "What's going on, young fella?" And I'm like, "I don't know, man. Why are you talking to me?"
I see you there. Look at that car. I see you. I see you now. Look at you doing that big. Look at you.
Hey, boy, what's going on there, young fella? I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just going to the store."
He hits you up for 50 cents. Like, yeah. That does you any good these days. Might still get you a Colt 45 after three people.
Can't change. Come through. Yeah, it's fun times. Yeah, you guys ready to go to the last chapter?
Last chapter.
I need to take like 2 seconds to pee, but you can start without me if you want.
Yeah, let's do that.
I'll talk slow. You got it.
Mm-hmm. So, chapter 8.
The figurehead.
You know, we didn't talk about chapter symbols. We stopped doing that. Do we have to do any more? They're all the same.
Let's see this one.
Yeah, I think in the first couple of books, like I was thinking about that the other day, like when looking through, like, well, because I went, the first couple of books we read, and then we all switched to audiobook. So we don't
yeah.
Like, so we don't, I mean, I have them right here, but it's, yeah. Anyway,
it's all good. There's some snakes looping around.
Yeah. Some snakes looping around. It's,
yeah,
it's fun.
Being that it's chapter 8, like if you look at 8 plus the snakes, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like an 8 of snakes of the Umbras of the Snake Eating Sentinel. The infinity sign, right? Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Forever.
And this is a Gwaine chapter. So we're finally back in Saladar.
Saladar.
Good old salad bar.
Saladar.
With old eggy.
Good old eggy.
Croutons and bacon bits.
Yep. So she's meeting with the S's, Swan and Shiria, which are not the only S I said I. There are literally probably about 100 of them in this book and these books. Mm. So get ready, guys, because there'll be so many S's you have no idea who is.
Like, I already feel like I need like family trees and I need roadmaps and I need just so many people.
Just S said I 1, S said I 2, S said I 3.
I was gonna say because I already messed the names up. So
yeah, but Swan and Shiriam are bigger ones. So that, you know, we know who they are.
This is why I have Zul. Zul, are you out there?
Zul's out there.
Over the intranet. Way out there. She always gets me right. She's like, no, that's not who you're talking about. I love how she always knows who I'm talking about, too. I appreciate
she
me that.
Too. She listens to me, too, because I'm like, oh, it's Fowling. Oh, no, it's Fowlin. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I got that one wrong. There's another one where someone corrected me, like where I went the entire episode saying the name the wrong way, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's just, you know, I'm mildly dyslexic already, and then you have Robert Jordan do this, and this is like the worst for dyslexic people. So
yeah.
Anyway, so she's meeting with Swan and Shiria, and they decide
S1 and S2.
S1 S2 decides that her army needs to pause for a day. Shiriam believes that should actually pause for a little bit longer of a time. Gareth Britain army marching up. And you know, they're just kind of generally talking about marching north and Gareth Brent.
Well, they've got issues. They're broke.
Yes.
They're hungry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The being they're broke is more. What Egwene's really focusing on.
Yeah.
She's got to figure something out. She's got to pay her servant. She's got to pay the soldiers. She's got to pay.
Yeah.
And then everybody's telling her what to do.
If you're broken, you can't live off the land, then, you know, you're kind of screwed. You know, yeah. And that was one of the reasons why Napoleon was successful. It's his entire army. He trained them to actually live off the land as they marched. So he could take over vast,
I did not know
lots
that.
Of land. And that's the reason why that's why he got screwed over in Russia. Because he wanted to go invade Russia. Russia knew that was a strategy. So they torched everything for 100 miles coming
makes
in.
Makes perfect sense.
And there's no food. Good luck. Because he wouldn't run supply chains.
Some hardcore people.
Yeah. They're just like, we'll destroy everything on the way in. So, hey, good luck. We'll starve you before you get here. So, yeah, good old Russians. Gwaine's also with one of her maids, and they're talking about, you know, I think they mention Mageddon, or whatever. Then all of a sudden, Gwaine feels it. So this is like, so we already had this from the epilogue.
She was fingering the bracelet or whatever. She's like, I haven't worn it in a while. I need to make sure I put it on. You know, there was that thought. She puts it on, and then it's noticed. Like, Shiriam's like, huh, the other two worn that same bracelet. Like, it looks very similar. And she's like, oh, yeah, they gave it to me when they left. Like,
it's a friendship bracelet.
Friendship bracelets. And, you know, there's many offhanded comments being made just in the midst of the conversation, specifically towards Shiriam about the, like, why do you continue to question what I want you to do? Why can't you give me information on what's going on? Like, why, what the heck is up? And she finds out that she's implanted 10 sisters in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's vital information that you think you would let your leader know. Like, we have not spies necessarily, but we have 10 people that can create a network. And they can
I don't think they intended for Egwene to lead.
That's very true. That's very true. Yeah.
They are finding out that what they're getting out of Egwene is not what they expected.
The chapter title is The Figurehead.
It is, but yeah.
And it ain't Sheerim no more. Sheerim tried to downplay it. Oh, well, that happened before your Amelin, so you don't need to know about that. That's no biggie.
Mm-hmm. I think Sheerim is finding out very quickly that she's the figurehead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I appreciate and enjoy thoroughly.
Still pretty wise of Egwene. She could have just got really mad at Sheerim for withholding this. And she was a little like, internally, she was like, come on, what the, WTF. But she appreciated it and saw the wisdom in it and the value in it and was like, okay, not a bad move. Mm-hmm. This could work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When are we ever going to let the Reds off on this? Like, this is still bothering me. We put the blame of Loghain on the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking really at nothing. Yeah, but that's not true.
Is it?
I think it is.
No, it's not true.
Reds are as far as
like them
creating false dragons?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe they would do that.
I don't think it's true.
You don't think it's true? Okay.
No.
You think Loghain's making that up?
All right.
They did make it up.
If you're part of a guild and let's say you're a witcher. And as a witcher, you get your coin by hunting down these ghostly beings from another dimension, world, sphere, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got them all. So now you can't get coin anymore and people don't need you and people don't respect you. What you going to do? You going to find a new trade or are you going to bring some more bad things from another sphere?
Or if you have like,
create demand,
this crazy drug called like V that turns you a superhero. Right. But then you kill all the bad guys. Yeah. So, you start giving the bad guys this V stuff. V. Right. So
yeah,
that's,
or if you like have guns and bullets and then you,
and then you have the ability to shrink yourself down really small and you got a boyfriend. So you.
Oh, yeah. Let's not do that. That hurt. Yeah. That was painful for me.
And then you have to sneeze. And,
Wait, what the heck were we talking about?
Anyways.
Although, apologies if you're listening. I just realized the last 2 minutes, we were so vague in our references. If you haven't seen the exact show and the exact episodes we were talking about, we just wasted 2 to 3 minutes of your life. I'm so sorry.
Welcome to Will Reads.
Yeah. And I won't tell you because all that was very spoilery. So just start watching random shows until you figure it out.
Yeah. Watch everything. Get back to us.
You can focus on Prime. We'll give you that much.
Yeah. Anyway,
speaking of Prime and how they do horrible things to us, August.
For what?
For
the announcement?
There was an announcement?
Or wasn't there?
For Wheel of Time?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
No. I thought I saw something on the Twitter sphere.
August is when the next teaser trailer comes out or something.
I haven't seen anything. Of course, I haven't really been on Twitter today. So,
I mean, it was a little while ago. Maybe I made that up in my mind. Because I'm so desperate for news.
Could have dreamt it.
Let's see. If I go to Default Rand, I'm calling you out. If you listen to our show, this is your shout out. So Default Rand is a Twitter handle that he has been asking what on Prime, our Wheel of Time, every single day. Yep, 2 hours ago, day 308 of asking the Wheel of Time to announce season 2 release date has not been announced.
Oh.
Every day, day 308.
Oh.
It's Groundhog Day again.
Then what was it that?
I don't know. I guess also something has been announced. I mean, so Shadow and Bone got a release date. That's March.
Does it?
Yeah. I don't think Mistborn is anything new on that scene. They're making a live action God of War.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And Rafe Judkins and the Expanse showrunners are doing that. Some cool stuff coming down the pike.
I'll be on day 172 of my 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, we still in New York Comic Con they announced that the Watt Origins would come out last August.
Maybe that's where.
And they didn't come out. Maybe I saw and they never showed up. And everybody's like, what happened? And like, I don't think the Twitter handle says something like, the interns put coffee on it. That was their excuse.
They probably showed it to like a small select group of fans. And they're like, what do you think? And it was probably just horrible. They were like, for the love of God, do not release this. Was it Mike Zane? They brought him Billy Zane. Yeah, they brought him back to do an episode.
I don't know if Nerdy Nightly's still watching, but I'm so jealous of them. They went to a con. I'm not sure where it was, but they made a little YouTube short or TikTok or something like that. And Billy Zane was there. And
oh, that's awesome.
And and Nerdy Nightly actually got a little clip of him going like, Iliada! And then Billy Zane comes in the camera and goes, I win again, Luce Theron.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah, so that was this year, a little Billy Zane Wheel of Time cameo. anyway, so yeah, so go check out their YouTube shorts or something like that. Yeah, props to Nerdy Nightly for getting Billy Zane to actually do a Wheel of Time thing this year. Gwen, then this is when she feels the stab of pain through the bracelet. And realizes that only a man channeling can do this.
Yes.
And realizes
it felt tainty and dirty.
It's dirty.
Just so dirty.
Dirty touch.
Yeah.
She felt the pain all the way in her gut.
Yeah.
I'm childish.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yes, you do. Don't be modest.
Realize a man's channeling, and then all of a sudden the necklace is gone, the connection severed, and Mageddon is loose.
Dun, so dun, dun. Now we move on to poor decisions. I understand maybe you don't want Shirium to know, but Swan already knows,
bro. And she ran out of that room without any backup.
No backup.
I was two thoughts on
and
this.
She can't take a so it's a Forsaken that's been released plus a male channeler that helped her. So at a minimum, if you confront them.
But who's she been hanging out with?
Dummies.
Are they? Who's she been hanging out with like for the last book and a half?
Oh, the Aes Sedai, the wise ones.
The IEL.
Yeah.
So like instinctually, she no longer has a flight mechanism. She's got a fight mechanism. So I was two-sided on this. Like, yay for her for like not being frozen in fear.
Yeah,
and going to address the situation right away.
Running
straight towards the gunfire. That was a true IEL thing to do.
But she knew she was running into a howitzer. Like, this wasn't, let me dodge this 22 going pop, pop, and maybe I'll make it. Running to, like, if she found what she was hoping to find, she was running to certain death.
And that was not the first thing on her mind, which that's where I'm like,
she's got to work on
that. The second side of it is, I need you to work on being the mother now, on being the head honcho, honcha, like, how you say it? Like, I need you to be a better decision maker.
Yeah. The fact that you compliment her and then still find some constructive criticism, I appreciate that juxtaposition.
You're welcome.
That's the one. And we end with her running out. Let's go try to find.
Running out. Yeah. I got to find that Forsaken.
Yeah.
Well, don't we end with her like telling her, at least one person followed the little woman, the older woman, who clearly is something different. She's like,
A little too curious.
Bothering me. I'm so sorry. Is he okay?
I'm sorry.
Is he okay?
He might have to poop.
Yeah.
He's up there hollering at his mom.
That's why I like dogs. So I almost didn't think I was going to make it tonight. Those cats woke me up at 2 o'clock this morning And I did not sleep after that. I went to bed at midnight, woke up at 2 o'clock because of cats. A dog, you could discipline a dog. You could tell like little fucker, like, you bad dog, go to the corner. They'll go to the corner rest of the night. A cat, you're like, bad cat. The cat's like, bad. I'll show you bad.
You ain't seen bad yet. You ain't
seen bad yet. I had to snatch this animal out of the blinds, like, throw him across the room. He runs under the bed. He starts eating electrical cords. So I'm snatching from under. I make Chanel get up at 3:30 in the morning. Like, get the fucking cat from under the bed. And then finally, I like snatch him by a scruff, lay him next to me. And I'm like petting his scruff so he knows, like, the minute you try to move, I'm snatching you again. Mm. And I pet him and hold him there for 45 minutes. He's like purring the whole time, self-soothing, because he knows he done really messed up now. Mm-hmm. And now I look at him, I pick him up by a scruff again. I'm like, all right, night, night. And I drop him on his bed, and that, he's like, yo, this nigga's crazy. He had me pinned down for 45 minutes, and I don't know if he was petting me or threatening me, but I'm going to stay in my bed now. All the while his sister's watching, like, huh, I'm not going to do that again.
I'm going to learn from your mistake.
Good times. So, yeah, anything else we missed from this chapter?
No.
Okay.
Meh. There's two highlights, you know, the shift of power from and Miriam starting to realize the power's not with her anymore. Egwene getting a little more confident. We're seeing a little more savviness from her.
So Swan kind of falling into place-ish with that too.
Yeah, and Swan's not one to tuck tail and just, all right, I'm just going to transfer all power to you now and I have no ambition anymore. So she's still holding on to hers, but Swan's appreciating what Egwene's doing and what she's going through. Mm-hmm. So there's a little respect being given there. And then Egwene tries to single-handedly try to take out, you know, a couple of big guns and machine gun nest. And
yeah,
all by yourself.
All by myself.
At what point does she decide maybe I should communicate with Ram?
Both of them
need to be talking to each other.
This is just such a bad equation. Like,
what we have here is a failure to communicate.
If the two could just, they don't even got to go all the way together, just touch base, then maybe we can get a little bit more out of this.
Yeah. Can you name the movie where that quote's originally from?
No.
What we have here,
is a failure to communicate.
I've heard it. I can't. I don't know.
Well, probably made more popular in 90s. It's an intro to a song. Is it a AC/DC?
There's a song where it's entered a song. It's maybe popular there. Oh no! But
Pink Floyd, maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. But what it's from a movie. See if anybody in chat can get it. I'll send a frosty mug out to anybody who can get it. Let's see.
What we have here is a failure.
To communicate.
Was it Winston Churchill saying it? Who said it?
Someone's Googling it right now. It's a movie.
Hey. I already have the answer, but I'm not going to say it because, you know.
Those Guns N' Roses?
Okay. Yeah, it is in Guns N' Roses.
Oh, it was Guns N' Roses. That's right.
Yeah. But Shawshank, no, it's not from Shawshank. It's not from Shawshank. Good guess, but no. It's a Western.
There you go. Cool Hand Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Yep. Silver Dragon, got it.
Yes, boss. Moving, boss.
Cool Hand Luke.
I didn't know that, and I've seen that movie a few times. Holy cow!
The second Knives Out wasn't bad, by the way. The glass onion. It's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I liked it.
It was good.
I really enjoyed that.
That was fun. Yeah. All right. Favorite character.
My 9-to-5 job is the best. I get to go back tomorrow, guys.
I don't know if you're excited about that or not.
It's only an hour away. Is,
funny thing, we listened to like 3 months of Ian complaining about not getting out of work, and now he's one day in. He's like,
"It wasn't
fuck work."
It wasn't the not being able to work. It was not getting paid. It was the no money thing.
He said, "If they would have paid me and I didn't have to work, imagine the mountains I'd have climbed.
Seriously,
the valleys I'd have been in." He would have gone to California and back.
I tell you what. I don't even lie to kids anymore. kids are like, I heard money doesn't make you happy. Is that true? I'm like, that's a fucking lie. Look.
Grow up where we grew up. And tell me money
doesn't make you happy. Doesn't Daniel Tosh do that in stand up? Like, he's like, money doesn't buy happiness. Whoever said that, you know, obviously you've never bought a jet ski before.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, someone frowning on jet ski.
Favorite character. Again, I appreciate Egwene and how brave she was. But I also appreciate Faile and her craftiness. Like, she was gonna make things happen for herself and her husband no matter what. And I appreciate that from a loved one.
And even in the midst of everything they're currently going through, she's still developing the relationships around her. Right. So she's still working, even though she's letting Perrin know she's upset. So that is a good one. Okay. I'm going to go with Rand for channeling his best Kramer and just barging in and go, Jerry, do you know where Barrel Lane is?
And just, even there, they made the best of the situation. So.
Yep. Reads the room, not good, just exit and slams the door.
I picture it more like a Kool-Aid man going, oh yeah, and then backing out slowly. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah.
Homer fading into the hedges.
Yes.
Go back in here.
Good times. My favorite character was Tom Honest, as always. And
barf. Barf.
Tall mayonnaise. Yeah. I don't know who my favorite character is these chapters. I like Egwene. I think she's coming to terms of her amaleness.
Yeah.
Starting to take control.
Yep.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yep. So
next my favorite scene of the book is when Perrin finally snaps on her, because that's what I've been waiting on this whole time.
Next week we'll be doing two chapters, A Pair of Silver Pike.
I wonder whose point of view that will be in.
Betcha Swan's in that chapter.
And chapter 10 will be brought to you by Peter Gabriel in Unseen Eyes. The light, the heat, unseen eyes. Unseen eyes.
Ooh.
Alan, let Chris and I do the jokes. Okay. No, I'm kidding. That was good. That was good.
It was.
Hey, I just like In Your Eyes.
It is.
One of my favorite moments is Em Dubansky, one of our good friends from college, serenading a woman in karaoke to In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And what's great is he is not a good singer, but he gives so much energy. He puts so much into it when he sings.
He puts his heart into it.
Missing every note.
True showmanship.
Missing every note. Alan, you're a dork. Yes, I know.
Well, welcome to year three.
There you go. To be fair, I haven't been around that long, so
yeah, you got three more years of Alan being a dork.
Three and a half, but
we're only halfway there. There will be more. There will be more.
There will be more. Plenty of it. And as I get older and my kids get older, the dad jokes get more and more. It just gets more corny. That's just what's gonna happen. It's a stage in life.
Ian's about to have another one too. Like, there's gonna be more and more bad.
So how it can be found is at the Will Reads. TheWillReads.com. It's our website. Yeah, we got one of those.
That's where we should be getting our money from. Both of y'all have been clipped and you've been talking about it so much. You should endorsements for that.
For vasectomies?
Yeah.
The National Vasectomy Society of
Let's get sponsored by a really famous
vasectomy is Viagra.
Okay. Find somebody that does like 1,000 a month. And, yeah.
I'll call my brother up, Dr. Witt, and see if
he's got a urologist friend that
they wants to sponsor us.
They give us $5, we'll shout them out every single episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is very true. Not only have I seen it, I'm paying for it. Who's Twitter here? I'm sorry, I derailed this. Go. That's why I shouldn't have chat up, but I love it so much. I spent half my time reading our chat.
Chris, are you over there eating more chicken wings? What's going on?
I've been chewing the sugar-free gum. Somebody was talking about it earlier. I was like, oh, y'all been in my mouth.
Gross. And so, yeah, so the website, go check it out. You can find links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever we are, TikTok, YouTube, all the places. Listen to us on our favorite podcast platform. Go support us. Join our Discord. Come interact with us. Buy our merch. Join our Patreon. It's fun.
I owe Jake a conversation too.
You can get our cool little Discord patron chat where Ian sends inappropriate pictures of Alan from yes. years past.
All the good ones.
Pictures I do not want shared on the internet. I guess it's for patrons only. So they're paying for the pictures.
It's semi private.
It's on Facebook. I know where that picture came from. It's on Facebook. It was my memories today.
Yep. It is out there, buddy.
It is out there. Yeah.
Now I'm curious.
Go to the patron chat.
I'm going. I never go to the patron chat. I only go to the chat when somebody tags me. So I've been there more recently.
Yeah. Anyway. So support us. That's all I got for this week, guys.
Until next time.
Peace.
Goodbye.
I hope you enjoyed the show and thank you for listening to The Wheel Reads. See y'all next time.